Today, I would like to encourage you, if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to be looking at John chapter 3 to start us out. So if you would, go ahead and turn to John chapter 3. We'll be starting with verse 1 in just a moment. Every year is different. Every year has its own struggles. Every year has its own blessings. And every year has a start and an end. And something that we started as a family a couple years ago is that we put together year photo albums. And so different years, put it together. I just finished putting together our photo album for 2025 this past week. And it's still in the mail, so we'll get it in February or so. But each year has that beginning and an end. And it takes me hours to put together a book like this. Really not because of we have so many pictures, but because I reflect as I do it. I'll reflect on the times that I feel like we got it right. I'll reflect on the times when I know I got it wrong. It helps me kind of set up what I want this new year to look like, what maybe goals that I've given or changes that I need to make, and what my prayer requests are all about. We did something different with our kids this past week, we gave them each a slip of paper. And on this slip of paper, we asked them to write out a few things that they would like for this year to look like. Maybe things that they would like to do different. And then we asked them to write out some prayer requests that they had. What are some things that they want to give to God this year? I filled it out myself, so did my wife, and then we got together and we shared, these things. And I was challenged by my 11-year-old daughter, Eden is her name, and she said, why don't we share some of the praise reports from last year? And I'm like, oh, man, why didn't I think of that? You know, those kinds of things. And she had these praise reports that she had already kind of put down of things that she knew that God had done for her and for our family this past year. When we look through these years, we find things that we want to change, things that we would like to start new or things that we want to do different. But as we look at John chapter 3, we see a man that comes to Jesus, and Jesus just rocks his world. He comes as a man that is a religious man, extremely religious, a man that is educated, a man that has high stature. He was looked at as a man of God, a guy that would be lifted up, and he had achieved all of these things. And Jesus says something to him that radically kind of changes the way he thinks, but radically challenges him. Let's look together today at John chapter 3, and we are going to be starting with verse 1. We're going to find the story of Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, and his name was Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night, and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs that you were doing if they were not from him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. The flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Nicodemus is surprised at what Jesus is saying here. I believe that he came to Jesus wanting to know who he was, number one, why he was sent here, but also maybe some things that would help make him better. Jesus does not give him a list of things that he can change. He does not tell them, you just gotta be better. No. He says that you have to be reborn. Something completely new. You have to be reborn. It is not a list of things that we can do to enter into the kingdom of God. It is to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and allow him to create something brand new. And so really, I've really had to grapple with the idea of what it means to be born from above. And when I came to the conclusion of what that means, what challenged me so much this week was that what it means to be born from above, it means that we are born for so much more than this earthly life can offer. It's because that we were born heavenward. You see, today, as we look at the scriptures, Paul would say that we are actually citizens of heaven. We were born to go to heaven. We were born from above. Philippians 3:20 says this. It says, and this is Paul, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to be born from above, it means that we are born with the idea and the purpose of heaven. Today I have a passport, and this passport here, it's one of my old ones, and so it has on here a lot of information. It has my citizenship. It says that I am born in the United States of America. It says my name. It says a lot of details about me. And this passport here, when I go to another country, it defines my citizenship. It says where I belong. It says that the laws that actually govern me. And it also talks about the authorities that protect me as a citizen of the United States. You know, this is a passport that I know that a lot of people around this world would love to be able to have. It's because America has a lot of things that they have gotten right, but it is not perfect. And to be a citizen of America, to be a citizen of the United States, is nothing in compared to being a citizen of heaven. Today, I would like to encourage you with this, because this is encouraging, that I was made for heaven. So if you would, would you just say that with me real quick? That, just repeat this after me. I was made for heaven. And what that means is that I was made for something so much bigger than this world has to offer. There is nothing in comparison to what God has for us. This world says that I have something over here, that you can find authority here, you can find citizenship here. But that is so small in comparison to what God has for us this year. Now, if you were to go to an embassy, because this is kind of something that we have to kind of grapple with. If we were to go to an embassy, the United States embassy in a different country, and we had our passport, we were on foreign soil, but that embassy operates under the laws of the home country in which that embassy is a part of, the home country or the citizenship in which you are a part of. What that means is to be born from above. That means today that even though we live here on earth, we really answer to heaven itself. Now, when I go to another country, one thing that I love to do, and it drives my kids nuts, is that if I'm going to another country, even if I'm going to another town or city or restaurant, I want to do research. And so I love to watch YouTube videos of these locations, what to kind of expect, and it kind of takes out some of the surprise, but I really want to be prepared. And so I'll watch different things because I need a tour guide. I need someone to kind of guide me in the right direction. I remember a couple years ago, I was really looking into Egypt. And it wasn't just the pyramids or all the monuments. It was like, how, if I were to go there, how would I kind of go through that country with its culture? Because it was so different. And one of the things that I learned was when you cross the street, there is not a timer that says you have 10 seconds. No. When you're crossing the street, it might take 10 seconds because you're sprinting as fast as you can, or it might take an hour because you're stopping in between cars that are going this way and this way. And so you have to walk. And so I would never have known that. And so to be a citizen of heaven, Paul really kind of encourages us on what it is to have a tour guide. Let's take a look here at Philippians 3:17, and it says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do." Some people with a new year, they will have something called a vision board. And on that vision board, they will have pictures of places that they want to go, people that they feel like are successful that they really want to model after. And so people will kind of set those things up in the new year. And what Paul is saying here is he's saying, hey, you can model the way that I live my life. And I've been extremely blessed over the years of having people that I was able to model after. I was blessed with a dad who I know that loved me so much and wanted to do the right things and guided me the right way. Grandparents that did the exact same thing. A mother that loved me. And so when I became a dad, I wanted to model that for my kids. So I watched them closely. Over the years, I was blessed to be able to be mentored by great men as well, of Pastor Mark and Pastor Dave. When I was still in college, he asked for me and invited me to join the School of Ministry. Now, that was an amazing blessing, but then he asked for me to do it again. Now, it was under the idea of, why don't you help me co-lead this next group? But I know what he really was saying, hey, you need another year watching. And that's all great. Because that's what Paul is saying here, and that's what the Bible says. It says that we're to model after. But I know that not every one of us has people in our lives. Maybe we didn't have a dad that was someone that was up that top level that you wanted to model. Maybe you wanted to model them the opposite way, even though you loved them. One thing that our church offers is we have a ministry called one-on-one discipleship. And that one-on-one discipleship, it has a group of men and women that we feel that are people that you could model after. So if you don't have someone like that in your life, it's 2026, let me encourage you. Sign up for that. There are people that have been praying for you in advance before y'all have even met, and they would love to be able to take that time. So I'd like to encourage you to do that. I know at the earlier service, we had a few people that came up to me afterwards, and they're going to sign up for that. And so let me encourage you to do that. But Paul is saying that you can model after me. Model after someone that is actually doing what you want to do, what you want. And in verse 18, it says this, "For as I have often told you before, and now that I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." The citizenship. Billy Graham would say it this way. He says that the Bible says that as long as that we are here on earth, we are strangers in a foreign land. We are enemies there are enemies to be conquered before we return home. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. So what, again, does this really mean? It means that this world does not get to tell us who we are. It means that this culture does not have the final word over our lives. Our identity, it comes from above, not from a place on this earth. It's not the job that we have. It's not the residence. It's not our economic status that is our authority. As Christ's followers today, Our authority comes from above. It comes from above today. Jesus would say that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And as Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, a man that had already been beaten, and as he stood before Pontius Pilate, who was the ruling person over Israel at that time, he was the Roman ruler, and as he stood before him, Jesus said this, that my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You see, Jesus was standing there unshaken because he knew that his authority did not come from Rome. His authority, it came from heaven. And so today, when we are born from above, we are not of this world either. Today, earth, the earthly authority, it is granted and given by people. Heavenly authority, it is granted and given by God. Today, in 2026, it is hard to even wrap my mind around saying that. Remember that if God is for you, then who can be against you? Today, our God is for us. He is for you. He loves you. And all of the authority that we have as a citizen of heaven, it is backed by heaven. Today at the end of the service, we're going to have cops that are going to be out there. They're going to help us to be able to get out of the parking lot. Amen. But they stand up there with a badge. And they stand up there and they put their hand up. Their authority is not in their personality. It's not in their own strength. It's not in their own power. It's in the badge that they have that is backed by the city, by the county, by the state, by America. And today, we're able to stand in the front of situations, hard times, things that would love to pull us back with the authority of heaven. Peter would say this. He said that since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives that we should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set heavens on fire and the elements will melt into the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth as he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. So today, as we look forward, we know that our citizenship is in heaven and we know that our authority comes from God, and our authority is from above. And Jesus says that you and I were not to seek the wisdom or the counsel of this world, but Jesus would say, but we seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. And then we get this amazing promise that all of these other things will be given to us as well. But there's a mindset that happens of seeking God's kingdom, seeking what is right in God's eyes. Today, I'm going to kind of look at what earthly mind would think of and what a heavenly mind would think of. Thinking about all of this or thinking about our heavenly Father, our heavenly goal, and how that kind of interferes or affects our minds. Thinking or living earthly minded. Is that we're always living in the moment. We live as the focus of temporary pleasures. What's the next pleasure that I'm going to be able to grab? Is it going to be the next thing that I buy? Is it going to be the next thing that I watch? Is this next reel going to be something? That momentary pleasures or that heavenly mindset, it lives for eternity with the values that will last forever. The earthly mindset, it finds identity in achievements or in appearance. the popularity, or the success. It's that earthly mindset of thinking like, all right, this is who I am. If I achieve this, this becomes my identity. Where that heavenly mindset does the complete opposite. It's not identity in myself. It's identity in Christ. Not in the status, the success, or the opinions of others. It's in Jesus Christ. This next one here, I believe that this is going to be one that's going to hit home to a lot of us. Relies on self. Focused on control. Can I control this situation? Can I be so prepared for what is happening next that that is my mindset? My strength, my resources that I've gathered, my banking account. And the other side of it is trusting in God's authority. God's authority. Look at what Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says. It says that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge him and he will make our path straight. There's such a difference in relying on self and yet trusting in God with everything that we have. This next one of walking by sight, walking by the things that we can see, maybe walking in fear of knowing that something is next around the corner that could trip us up. The opposite there is walking by faith. When we walk by faith, we are not walking by sight. We are walking with the mindset of what is eternal, what is heavenly. I'm walking with the mindset knowing that God's got me. And he is going to care for my needs. And that his promises I can rely on. I can rely on his promises. I can put my faith in him. Living earthly minded of how we respond to situations. Responding with anxiety. Or responding with hope. Seeking approval of others. That's one that I've really had to work on over the years. The fear of rejection. The fear of failure. If I would have told you what my biggest fear when I was a child, it was the fear of failure. It was the fear of failing a test. It was the fear of being a dyslexic student. The fear of the teacher calling on me to read. Because I knew in myself that I would fail. I was going to fail. That failure, that idea has kind of, it went from being a child to being an adult. That fear of not being everything that God's called me to be. That fear of failing as a parent. But yet, what does living with a heavenly mind say? We're seeking God's approval. We're giving it to him. We're saying, God, you know what? Your approval, it matters more than anything that this world could ever. Even if I clown things up, your approval, because you are a loving, caring, heavenly Father. Here's one that's big. Clinging tightly to possessions. Being afraid of losing control, finding comfort in possessions, holding things loosely, knowing that this world is extremely temporary. At our house right now, my wife has been going through a massive housing cleanse. And, you know, there's multiple cleanses that you can have in life. There's some things that you cleanse your body that takes time. You know, it's very gradual. And then there's other cleanses that there's no time. It's happening now. Things are happening. And our home right now, and I've learned this from my wife, is either you get on board or you get left in the dust. And so I've had to get on board. We are cleaning things up. It's cleaning house time. We're taking down the tree, and then we're taking everything else to the road. God wants our minds to not be of the things of this earth. Look at what Colossians 3:2 says. It says that we set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. You see, today, what we set our mind on determines how we live. You can't live from above when our mindset is stuck below. When I look at these books and I see these different years, and when I look at all of these different things, one thing that I don't get super excited about, things, it's on the things that matter in life, the things that are eternal. It's people. It's faces. And today, that's where God wants our mindset, not on the things of this world, but to be focused heavenward on what really matters in this world and life. And over the last couple of years of leaving my job as the campus pastor in Vieira to being the head of school here at the academy, I've really had the ability to be able to view this next generation in a completely different light. I read an article quite a few years ago, and then it got re-brought up even just the last year. And it was Gen Z, the first generation with no purpose. A generation that looks at situations knowing that they will probably be disappointed, and so with the mindset of hoping less. You know, when I was a kid, it was all about, you know, what are you going to do? You know, all the way down the road. I remember when I was in high school, I named all of my kids. And I even got a bonus child. I had an extra one. And so, but I named all of my kids because that was my mindset. I was always thinking down the road. And I think that a lot of times this generation we live in, and I think it's kind of the culture that we live in, it's not that way. It's thinking in the moment. It's thinking about the things that we're not going to be discouraged by. But something happened over this last year where I feel like this next generation, Gen Z, is starting to take the lead. That might have been who they were, but then we see, and this is so encouraging for me, we see them starting to take the lead. We see a revival happening within that generation where they're coming back to church. Maybe their parents never went, but they are. And we see this, that the YouVersion Bible, they take this every year. They take a kind of a look and a study at what was searched by what demographics, by what generations. And this year, for the 4 years out of six, Isaiah 41:10 was the verse that they sought after, something that they looked towards. And this was not just for believers. This was also people that are of this world. That was this next generation. And I thought that I'd read it to you. And it's Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I find that so encouraging. And we see this uptick in Bible cells. We see this uptick in people that are searching because they know that this world does not have true hope. And so today, our hope, it comes from above. We cannot receive hope from the same place that we receive problems. We cannot receive hope from the place that give us issues. No, hope, it comes from above. And when it really comes down to it, the dash of life it matters more than anything in this world. Down in Vero Beach, there's a tombstone. And on this tombstone at this graveyard, there's a date of birth, and there's a date of death. And in between, on that dash, there's this scripture. You'll see it here on the screen. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not be faint. That tombstone is actually my grandfather's. And this was his life verse. This was something that he lived by. But this verse, it's a powerful verse. It's one in the top five that is searched every year. Because that word hope is so powerful. The hope that we can get from this world is so fragile. But the hope of God is something that is totally from above. And I know that each and every one of us, we would love to soar on wings like eagles. And that scripture says that as we put our hope in God and our faith in God, that we will be able to take up those wings like eagles. You know what an eagle does? An eagle, during the hardest situations or during a major storm, an eagle is able to fly above it. In this world today, there's storms, there's issues, there's the news, there's all of these things that, you know what? Our mind can go down and down and down and down. But as our hope is in the Lord, and as our hope is from above, not from here, not from self, we're able to escape that storm by flying on those wings like eagles, knowing that our God is in control. He is in control today. But we don't get to soar without our hope being in Christ. We don't have that renewed strength or that renewed mind without first having that renewed spirit of having hope and trust in God. That is not of this world. When we hope like this, like the scriptures say, we will be able to look back over the years, as I have, even this past year, and I'm able to say, oh my gosh, God, not only did you help me through that situation, not only did you carry me through that situation, but you gave me wings like eagles to soar above it. That's our God today. Now, there are some things that we have at our church called the 7 discipleship values. We're going to highlight a few of those over the next couple of weeks. Here is two that when I was looking at this passage and this teaching this week that really stood out to me. First one, spending time with Jesus. You see, when we spend time with Jesus, we are seeking his kingdom. We are not spending time on trying to improve who I am, the things of this world, my portfolio, all of these things. When we spend time with Jesus, we're putting our trust in him. We're putting our life in his hands. And we're receiving his hope. But this next one here, living on mission. Living on mission today is all about what we've talked about. Living with heaven in mind. C.S. Lewis would say this. He would say that hope, it means a continual look forward to the eternal world. It does not mean that we are to leave this present world as it is. If you read in history, you will find that Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other worlds that they have become ineffective in this. This is important for us. Aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. You see, today, heaven is our new home. Heaven is our home today. Paul would say a lot of things, and he just talked about like modeling, how we could model our lives after him. But look at what Philippians 3:13 says. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing that I do is forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Today, we're heavenward. It's in Christ and it's through Christ, and we live for Christ. So in today, in 2026, don't lose hope when things fall apart. Don't. God's got you. He's going to carry us through these situations. Don't live in fear of the future. As I was writing that down this week, I thought of all of the times that I have mourned the loss of people that are still with me today. Where I thought about, like, what would life be without this person? And you mourn it. You start thinking about it because your fear of the future, of not being in control. Don't fear the future. Our future's pretty awesome because heavenward, heaven is in our future. And don't cling to won't last. Don't hold on to the things that are going to perish. Don't cling to them. Because my home is from above. Today, we started our time together reading the story of Nicodemus. Jesus did not tell Nicodemus you have to be a better person, or even that you have to try harder. He said, you must be born from above. That invitation that Jesus gave to Nicodemus, he still gives every single day, every single moment. And in that invitation of being born from above, it means a new citizenship, a new identity, a new authority that we live under, a new hope that this world could never give, and the promise of a new home. The question isn't, are you religious enough? Are you moral enough? Are you trying your best? The question is, have you been born from above? If you would, let's stand together. And just a moment, we're going to take communion. But I am going to ask just a few things that I want us to reflect on. Today, maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never taken that step of following him. Maybe there's been so many temptations in this world of things that you've put your hope in. And those things have always let you down. Jesus, he bats 1,000. He's never let us down. And he's promised that he will always be there for you. If you would, let's go ahead and bow our heads and just close our eyes. And I want us to reflect. Let's not reflect on last year. Let's reflect on right now. And if you would like to receive that invitation, That invitation that has the promise of eternity with God. That invitation that has a promise of living a life of true, real purpose. And if you want to receive that invitation with God and you want to be born again, to start fresh, to start brand new, with all of our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you just raise your hand and say, yes, that is me today. I need that. Yes, 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 yes. If you're in the balcony right now, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and that's you, just raise your hand. Yes, I see you. I see you. Yes. You can go ahead and put down your hands. For those of you that raised your hand and you want to take that next step, would you just say this prayer with me? Lord, I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my life. Lord Jesus, would you cleanse me of all of the things of this world? Would you cleanse my heart? Would you make me new and help me to live for you? Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Change my life. My eyes are focused on heaven and your promises. Thank you for the hope that I have that comes only from you. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that said that prayer, congratulations. I've said that prayer. My kids have said that prayer. And I celebrate knowing that you and I, we have the same citizenship right now. That citizenship is in heaven. It is not of this world. So congratulations. Second prayer that I want to do right before we take communion is that of being born from above. Some of us, we're not born from above, but we're not, we know we're going to heaven, but we're not living like it. The earthly-minded things got our minds, our hearts, our hands, our feet. And you want to change today. That invitation is for us as well. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you to say this prayer with me. Lord Heavenly Father, it's a new year. It's a new day. And I need a new mindset. I am tired of hoping in the things of this world. My mind, my eyes, my heart is focused on you today and focused on eternity. Help me, Lord, to live that way. Thank you for being so good to us. Give me what I need, my strength today, my mind today, because I put my hope in you today, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, if you would, go ahead and you can hold the communion in your hands, and we're going to sing in just a second. Those of you that are online with us right now, I want to encourage you, partake in communion with us. Grab something from the cupboard, grab something from the refrigerator, and as we sing, we're going to reflect, and then we'll take communion together as a family.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me
flowing from his side, no greater sacrifice.
All right. If you would, we'll go ahead and open up the portion that has the bread in it. You can open that up. Let's just hold it in our hands just for a second. This little piece of bread, it represents so much. It represents what Jesus did for us. It represents the place that he took, our place, the place of death. And when Jesus went there, he went there out of love, and he went there for you, he went there for me. And it was on the night of Jesus' betrayal that he said this. He took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said, "This, it represents my body, which is for you." The celebration of all that Jesus has done. If you would, let's just lift that up to the Lord, and let's just thank him. Just say with me, "Lord Jesus, thank you." Let's take this in remembrance of him. In the same way, when Jesus was in the upper room after the meal was done, he took the cup. If you can, go ahead and open this up. You don't have to open it up all the way, especially if you're wearing white. Been there, done that. Let's remember what this represents. This little cup right here, it has a little bit of juice in it. When Jesus was with his disciples, he said, "This cup, it represents my blood." It was the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. It was the blood of Jesus which was our key to enter into eternity in heaven. And so today, let's lift this up to the Lord and let's thank him. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what this cup represents. Today, Lord, we take this in remembrance of you. Let's take the cup together. And before I pray and conclude, I'm going to share one last scripture. I do want to remind you, down front we have our bowls, and on the sides too for prayers. And I want to encourage you, take these, write down your prayer requests, put them in the bowls so that we're able to pray together. But today, if you are in need of prayer today, don't leave. We'll have our prayer partners down front, and I know that they would love to be able to pray with you. And also, those of you that raised your hands, congratulations again on receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We have a Bible that we would love to give you. We have one of our prayer partners down here as well that would love to be able to speak to you. So let me encourage you to stay afterwards, talk with them, receive that Bible, and celebrate who you are in Christ. Congratulations. For new people, again, at the very end of the service, we have an area, we have a room in the back. We would love to get a chance to meet you. Thank you for visiting with us today. Stop by there at the end of the service. I know that I'll make my way there at the end as well, and I'd love to get a chance to meet you. Pastor Dave is there, and we would love to be able to get that chance to say hi. Let's pray, and then I have one last scripture I want to share. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for eternity in heaven. And Lord, thank you for your promises. We put our hope and our faith in you this year. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look on the screen here, you're going to see the Romans 15:13, and it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him this new year, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.